to worship you, to let that linger on our hearts this morning. And long to worship. Lord, we long to worship you. We long to worship you. Lord, we're living in a dry desert. We're living in the midst of trials and tribulations and hardships, and we desperately, desperately need you. You are more precious than gold or silver. You're more precious than anything that we can conceive or imagine or come up with or a dollar amount. You are way beyond that. You are from eternity to eternity. You are the beginning and the end. You are Alpha and Omega. And we invite the presence of your Holy Spirit to convict us and to help us understand your word. And God, as I come into the scripture today, Lord God, there's a heavy burden. God, I pray that you'd remove my flesh and my words out of the way. Only want you to speak, God. So I pray that somehow in my human weakness and in my flesh, Lord, that your Spirit would speak and that you would be glorified. Lord, it's our heart's desire that we might be transformed from the inside out. Lord, that the Word of God today would not just go into our minds, but it would go into our hearts. It would change our soul from the inside out. Lord, we want you, to change, God, the fabrication of how we even think, how we move and how we feel and what we say. We want to be the very incense of Jesus. We are your treasure and broken vessels. And Lord, we say, begin to spill it out. Out of our bellies would flow the rivers of living water. God, that you would override the here and now and transport us into the very throne room, even as we go into your word today, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And we've been talking about voices that are threatening in our lives. And not only do we have those voices that are threatening to us based on persecution, but I know that Jesus said that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to destroy your witness. And so some of you in here today, the devil is attacking your very area for which God uses you. If God has blessed you in the area of finances, he's going to attack you in that area so that you can stop giving to the kingdom of God. If God has gifted you in worship and singing, he's going to somehow come against that and stop that. If he's gifted you in the area of justice and standing up for what is right, like such as unborn children, he's going to attack you in that area. And those voices speak. They speak lies. Just like when the children of Israel were supposed to go into the land and they went, and that some of them came back with a bad report and said, there's no way we can conquer those giants. That's the lies, the voices. And we find the early church in that situation. They had over 10,000 converts. They were moving in power. There was all these new believers added to the church. And then they were told, you have to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. You have to stop it. And I want you to know the day that the devil wants to silence you. He wants to snuff out your voice. He wants to snuff out your gifts. He wants to snuff out your areas of talent. He wants to get you in a place where while you're going through a trial to be defeated. But the early church, no matter what persecution came their way, they worshiped and praised their way out of it. They worshiped and praised their way out of it. Because we go back in the Old Testament, as we look at the Word of God, as we look at what God does throughout the Old Testament, if you were to tell somebody you know, to knock a big fortress or a city down to go and march around it seven times. That's what God told Joshua to do. When they got to that seventh time around, what did they do? They all began to shout and praise and worship, and the walls came down. What do you do when the voices speak and come to threaten you and come to take over your life and come to pull you down? Some of us run to people. Some of us run to our vices. Some of us run to get counsel from somebody, and that can be a good thing. But what did these guys do? They said, you cannot speak in the name of Jesus. Remember what happened to Jesus now? He was crucified on a cross. He was beaten by the Romans. We can do the same thing to you. The devil may be speaking to you today and said, I could rob you of your joy. I could rob you of your business. I can rob you of your life. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to run to? How do we determine if the voice is real? Because sometimes we perceive threats with our prideful egos. Like, you know, we might perceive a brother or sister that's rebuking us in an area in our life that we need to grow. And we say, that's a threat. I need to go to the Lord and let the Lord take care of them. That's not the threat we're talking about. How do we determine if the threat is from the enemy or if it's just our egos being hurt and our pride being stepped on and offended? If the threat is hindering and stopping our living out and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ in any way, if the threat is telling us to water down or stop speaking in the name of Jesus, if we are bound by discouragement and depression, it is from the enemy and it is a threat. And look what the early church did in chapter 4, verse 23. It says, when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. Look, we have 10,000 people. We're meeting in Solomon's porch in the temple. And they told us we have to change our message and take Jesus out of our message. It's okay to speak God. It's okay to speak the man upstairs. Sound familiar? But take Jesus' name out of it. And what did they do in verse 24? It says, when they heard it. They didn't say, well, we got to think about this for a while. We're going to have to call a committee in the church. We're going to have to call a board meeting and we're going to decide what to do with this. Maybe we can move locations. Maybe we can... No, they didn't do that. They lifted up their voices to the Lord. They lifted up their voices, says, together to the God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of the Father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit. And we're going to get that in a moment. But how did they respond? The only way that you and I can respond to this is to get together right away with other believers and pray. They did not waste any time. They did not wait and say, well, let's wait till the pastor can come over here. Or let's wait till we get everybody together again. They right away said, let's pray, and they began to lift up. The moment they heard, they were told to stop speaking in the name of Jesus, they started to pray. Folks, and I can't stress anymore the importance of us being a house of prayer, because that is the only thing that's going to last in today's world. We can fill church seats. We can fill it up to the brim by having a nicely packaged sermon and nicely packaged music. But I'm talking about the church that impacted and set people free and made worshipers and disciples out of people. I don't want a group of people that just kind of stand and watch the music as it's being played. God wants people that are on fire for Him, that are His vessels, that are being used out in the community to bring change. What kinds of threatening voices do we face? Some of us might face attack on our identity, our calling, and our gifts, or tempting voices that lure us into sin. Or how about when our witness for Christ is silenced by our fear, depression, and anxiety, and maybe laziness? From these voices. When the voices trick us into thinking we can just worship God privately in our hearts, then we know the church has been doomed. You know what? I was raised and I was told over and over again that, you know, you need to have your own religion privately in your heart. And that's how the devil has snuffed out the impact of the church. They silenced the verbal expression and speaking and living of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Genesis, when God said, "Let there be light," He began by the spoken rhema word. When we have the word of God that's given to us for a specific circumstance, and He uses our voices, He doesn't want us to have a faith that's in private. How did they know that Daniel was praying? Because when they prayed out loud. That was just a given in Hebrew culture. It wasn't just a little silent prayer in your heart. And we're going to find out in a minute the importance of the verbal expression of our praise to God. You can say, well, you know what? They prayed a specific prayer. And we're going to get to that in a minute. Why? Because they had all been meditating on the Word of God. They were all filled up with the Word of God. And they all simultaneously lifted their voices together based on what they had been studying in the Word of God. And the Spirit gave them utterance. It's just like, you know, it's like a sea of prayer. It's like a mighty ocean wave where everybody just started praying for the same thing all at once in their own voices. And I've been in places where we've had prayer meetings like that, and it's just powerful. The devil starts to shake in fear. He doesn't shake in fear when people are sitting there praying to themselves. He doesn't. He says, "Oh, no big deal." It's when the church stands up and begins to speak the name of Jesus. So, what kind of prayer do they pray? First of all, I want to talk to you about this praise matter. Prayer that is praise. We can worship God in our hearts, but there's no such thing as praise in the heart. When you do a study of praise throughout the Bible, praise is spoken out loud and is expressed in worship. That's why it says, in the Word of God, they lifted up their hearts. What does it say there in the text? Somebody tell me. Tell me what it says. Get your Bibles open. Voices. The voices. He said they lifted up their voices to God. They lifted up their voices to God. Worship is my adoration of God and who He is. And they began that prayer by saying, "Sovereign Lord." They recognized who He was, what He's done, and what He's about to do. But then when they verbalized it, it became praise. Praise is the visible, verbal expression of my worship, responding to who God is. God wants to hear and feel our praise. Now, last night the Lord just said, "Turn to Genesis 22:10. So I said, "I don't know what that is." Genesis 22:10. And it was right where Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac. He had the knife raised in the air. He was just about to plunge it. And God said, "Wait a minute, stop. Now I know you are a man that fears me, and you will not withhold anything from me." See, worship is when we just kind of give things to God in our hearts. Praise is when we actually do the action. It's an outward expression of belief. Like Abraham, he took Isaac up. That was praise. It was an outward expression of his worship and his dedication to God. See, praise gets us onto God's property. It says in Psalms 100, verse 4, we sang it last Sunday, "I'll enter into His gates with thanksgiving in my heart, and I will enter into His courts with" what? Praise. Praise gets us where we need to be. In other words, that's when heaven collides with earth. That's when we have our foot. We step into the boldness in the throne room of God is through praise. We don't get there by just keeping everything all held up and bottled up inside. We get there by obeying God in our actions and in our lifestyle and what we speak out and believe. The Word of God. Some of you came here today I heard Tony Evans give a really good illustration of this, is when you go to a comedy club, what do? You laugh because everybody else around you is laughing. And you might have gone there not feeling like laughing, and maybe the joke wasn't even funny to you, but because someone else is laughing or cackling at the same time, you start laughing. You might be here today and your situation was maybe like the early church. They were told to stop the whole operation. And so for you to come and verbalize your praise is a sacrifice. That's what the Word of God talks about in Hebrews 13:15. It's a sacrifice of worship. Job 1:21, when everything was taken away from him, he said, "The Lord giveth, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." When you come to church, that's why the importance of being with other believers is everyone else is worshiping God, so you have to worship God too. It is a sacrifice of praise. It's bringing yourself in your words and your life into alignment with what God is doing. And so we can thank God for the brothers and sisters of why we can get together and praise. Praise is the atmosphere, it says in Psalms, that God chooses to deliver us. Now I read earlier at the beginning of our service, Psalms 34 verses 1 through 3. He says, praise should be continual and it magnifies God. Now, what was he talking about there? Have you ever thought about that? Who uses a magnifying glass still for little things here and there? Okay, a few people. You know, I don't see any younger people raising their... You should try it sometime. You can actually see small stuff. Does magnifying the Lord make him any bigger than he already is? But God chooses us as a vessel to make himself look as he actually is through praise that is expressed on our lips. How will the world know? Unless he sends a preacher that verbalizes. See, the Word of God says this over and over again in all different ways, in all different things, that our voices have to express the praise of God. It magnifies God. It makes Him look large as He really is when praise is on our lips. I lived a lot of my life in defeat and despair, and I made God look small to the world. That's not how God is. He's much bigger than that. His praise has to be on our lips. So I want to say in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, God all over in this room is beginning to loosen tongues. In more ways than one. He's beginning to loosen those that have been held by fear. You're now boldly witnessing to someone at work or at home or in your family. When times of despair come, when I am threatened not to speak in the name of Jesus, not to grow in the name of Jesus by this trial that comes in my life, that ought to be the cue for praise. David says in that psalm, his praise is continuously on my lips. Now I want you to turn in your Bibles just for a moment to 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles. 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, and verse 19, or chapter 19, verse 19. Excuse me, it's wrong in your notes. It's chapter 20, verse 19. Chapter 20, verse 19. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew. You have to see the Word of God so that you can speak the Word of God. Don't take my word for it. You have to get in it and it has to become a part of you. You have to get familiar with it. Young people, especially, you got to get familiar with the Word of God. Don't just come and sit and daydream in church and just watch and listen and say, "Oh, that was a nice message." Open your Bibles. Bring your Bibles to church and get in them. You wonder why people get weak, why the church is being watered down today is because we've lost the Word of God. All right, now enough said about that. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 19. Jehoshaphat was facing a problem with an army that was coming against the children of Israel. What did they do? He fell down in his face in Verse 18, worshiping the Lord and the Levites and the Kenathites and the Kerahites all stood up. I don't know. All these people stood up to what? To praise the Lord, the God of Israel, in a very quiet, reverent voice. That's fitting into the denominational church of today, isn't it? It's nicely packaged, and we don't want to ruffle any feathers. There are refined, educated people sitting in this room right now. What does it say? It says, with loud voices, God is touched by our emotion. God doesn't want us just to know about Him. He wants us to speak about Him. He wants us to be emotional about Him. And I'm not talking about emotionalism. I'm talking about emotion that flows from knowing who God is. Look what it says in verse 22. It says, they began to sing and to praise, and the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. They praised, and the enemy was routed. I cannot emphasize enough, the early church, the first thing they said, Sovereign Lord. They lifted up their voices together. They didn't say, well, we have to be quiet because they were told not to speak in the name of Jesus. They lifted up their voices. You could hear things. They didn't have fancy glass windows in those days. A lot of times they prayed up on the rooftops. Those Pharisees and scribes were walking around the city. They could hear. They lifted up their voices to the Lord. Praise confuses the enemy and causes him to flee. You know what? I'm a stubborn man. And when difficulties and trials come to life, I want to wallow in pity. I know that the answer is to just shut the pity down and praise the Lord. We should have a song that says that. Shut the pity down and praise the Lord. Shut the depression down and praise the Lord. Shut the lies down and praise the Lord. Shut the discouragement down and praise the Lord. Because God has called us into a lifestyle of worship and prayer that roots the enemy. Because what the devil speaks is lies. He steals worship from God. And when God hears us worshiping Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and strength, He hears true worship, and He comes and routs the enemy. Prayer that is grounded in God's Word and believes and understands how to apply it to life. So they were not just praying out of their own minds here. These people have been studying Psalms chapter 2. Now I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 2. We're going to understand what that says today. They literally in their prayer quoted the Word of God. And so when the enemy comes, we praise him, but we speak the Word of God in belief for what is done. Because what's going on here? Notice in their prayer in a moment, I'm going to show you something. But in chapter 2, he quotes this. They quote this in their prayer. They say, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. That's what they did against Jesus. This is a prophetic psalm that David spoke by the Holy Spirit. He said, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords. These Sanhedrin, these religious leaders are saying, we don't want to hear about this Jesus. We don't want to listen to what you have to say. Let's bust off these cords off of us. And then it says, He who sits in the heavens laughs. This is one of the few times where it says God just busts out laughing. The Lord holds them in derision. Then He will speak to them in His wrath and terrify them in His fury, saying, as for me, I have set my King on Zion, my holy hill. That is the truth. That's the Word of God. That's what's going to happen. So when they prayed and recognized the sovereignty of God. Now back in chapter X, I want you to see that. After in verse 26, they quoted the Scripture. Here's what they say in verse 27. It says, for truly in the city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. We saw Psalms 2 come to life. You see that? Against Jesus. Both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. Because they didn't read just the beginning of Psalms 2. They saw the end where it says, God says, my son will sit enthroned no matter what they do. They crucified the Son of Man, but he's sitting in glory now and he resurrected from the dead. They couldn't stop God's plan. And so the early church believed that and they recognized that and they prayed out of that confidence and they said, now Lord, here's our problem. So prayer that God calls us to pray is praise, number one. Number two, it's grounded in the Word of God. We understand it and know how to apply it. And then we bring our problem to God and we apply what's in the Word of God today. The same thing that happened to Jesus now is happening to us. And we know that the gospel is still going to go forth because it was prophesied in Psalms 2. That is the kind of confidence that God has given us. God says in His Word, my God will supply all your needs according to His riches. God says, all things work together to those He called in love. Those are the rich promises of Scripture that we can pray out praise and believe that God acted this way. This is the way He decreed it, that even though they tried to stop the plan of God by crucifying the Son of Man, it says God only allowed them what it was supposed to happen. He determined it. He's sovereign and He is the Lord that rules the universe. What an awesome God we have. And then they launch into the fixing of their problem. They said, Lord, we know your will is that they can't stop us. We know that from Psalms 2. That's the fact. They told us to stop speaking in Jesus' name, but that's not your will, so it's got to happen. So we need the power to keep doing it. And so they said, Lord, we pray that we would continue to speak the Word of God in boldness. Now, a lot of times, some of us come to God to get a little help so that we can continue to do it on our own, right? Say, oh, God, I just need a little bit of help here so that I can do it. They recognized the problem and they said, we got to keep speaking in Jesus' name and we need the power to do it. You're going to be in it all the way through this thing. And He said, a little further, stretch out your hand to heal. And signs and wonders are performed through the holy name of Jesus. They knew that there's power in Jesus' name. And whether they wanted Him to stop speaking or not, He was still going to do miracles. So they believed the Word of God and the promises of God. And look what happened. This is an amazing, amazing event. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the Word of God with boldness. Now, what would you do if this building started to shake right now? Some of you might be running in line for the restrooms. I don't know what it was, if the building actually shook or that they were so visibly shaken in their bodies by the presence of the God, of the Lord that was coming upon them. I don't know, but it was noticeable. And let mark my words, when you began to develop a lifestyle of praise, God is going to visit you in a way that you never thought, but you have to be open. You have to be willing. They were completely willing. They were at a spot where they said, we can't keep doing this unless you give us the power. We know it's your will to do it, but we need your power to do it. They were completely at a place of full surrender to the Holy Spirit. They were not going to be afraid of the Holy Spirit because He was the one to give them the power to speak boldly in His name. So number two, get with the believers and pray, number one. Number two, surrender yourself to be filled with the Spirit and then continue to obey God. I can't tell you of countless times in my life and what I've seen in the church where people come down to the altar and they say, God, I surrender all. I surrender all. I'm sorry, my voice is going to sound like a duck or something. And then they get up, go back to business as usual. Oh, I just had this great experience of being filled with the Spirit of God on Sunday. But then on Monday comes, someone tells you something negative, and then you don't speak boldly in the name of Jesus. You weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. That was just an emotional experience. Because when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the action follows. Do you get this? When you're truly filled with the Holy Spirit, the action follows. They spoke the Word of God boldly. So it's a continuance to obey the Lord. How about you? Have you surrendered? And are you willing and at a place today? And the Lord has been wrestling with me on this because I know God has greater things for my life and your life and for this church and for this community. And there are things that I'm afraid of and I hold back because I'm afraid that I'm going to have to leave all my pleasures and comforts. But to do this, it does cost everything. But they had everything to lose, right? They could have had everything taken. They did have everything taken away at some point. All their property and that, but they still kept speaking the name of Jesus. Surrender. It's waving the white flag and following through with it to the end. It is making surrender as not only being filled, but it's making a commitment to God. It said, you have given me the power to do this. I will obey your voice. I will boldly speak. And then when we read, and we're going to get in probably more deeper, a little more deeper that next week, but I want you to see that what is the results of biblical praying when threatened? We see in chapter 4, verse 32, it says, now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of these things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were given their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was on them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many were as owners of the lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds to what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. It was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who is called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. They were emotionally bonded with one another and committed to one another because they believed the same thing. They studied Psalms 2 together. They knew that they were supposed to speak the Word of God, and they did it together. They shared everything that they had for the benefit of God's kingdom. They testified with great power. They experienced great grace, and they became avid encouragers and meeting needs. They didn't just show up at church at breakfast on Sunday and just sit there, hey, how's the weather going? They were finding out people's spiritual, physical, and emotional needs, and they were saying, come on, I want to pray for you. You know, the church environment ought to be a place where we see people praying all over the place. Because there's a lot of needs that come in. And we're not talking about just spiritual needs. There's physical needs. We ought to have everybody's needs met. That's the result of being filled with the Spirit. Now, I want to point something out to you that I didn't really notice before. As we work our way through Acts, I want you to know, pay attention to this closely because this is key. The Lord is teaching the church how to operate in the Holy Spirit. When they first received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, it says that the people were mocking them and making fun of them, although some were bewildered with questions. You come to this place where Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and the lame man was healed. People started running to the church and started getting saved. This time, when people were filled with the Holy Spirit, as we're going to read as we get into chapter 5, people started to become afraid of the church because they were operating in such great power. There was a fear, And there were some people that didn't dare join them because the fear of the Lord had fallen upon them. And folks, this being filled with the Holy Spirit thing is not a one-time experience, because the more we're filled with the Holy Spirit, a deeper level of greater power comes upon the church. And we see that throughout the book of Acts. God doesn't want us to operate with one cylinder of the car. What happens, Steve, when one cylinder is in an engine of a car and not all of them are operating? It doesn't run very well. So God wants us on all cylinders. He's provided the Holy Spirit, but yet He gently teaches the church along into the depths of being filled with the Holy Spirit. So I want to counsel you today, don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. There might be some things that God's going to do in your life that you're holding back because you're afraid of the Holy Spirit. It's time to just let go. And the more we let go, the more we surrender, the more we praise, the more we pray, the more God fills us with the Holy Spirit, He takes us deeper and deeper and transforms us from glory to glory into Christ Jesus. It's not a one-time thing. You know what? I didn't notice that, but it just kept getting deeper. It went from people making fun of them to people being afraid because of the power of God that was so powerful and great in their lives. The enemy flees. Do you want that? Do you want that? Do you want God to use you? I do. I do. And so let's begin to pray today. And I want to invite, as we come in this time of prayer, if God is moving on your heart and today you say, you know what, I just want to surrender. I want to make a commitment to God today. You're going through and you're listening to threatening voices and you want to come down to the altar and you want to praise God. I'm going to ask if we could just put a CD, music CD in the back. But let's stand together. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, we praise Your name. We lift up Your name. Let's lift up our voices together to the Lord today. God, we exalt You. We magnify Your name. Let Your voices be lifted up to heaven. We need a filling of the Holy Spirit. We have threatening voices in our lives. We need to speak these things out. And so as we go into prayer today, I want to invite you to come down and I want to pray for you today. Let's lift up the name of the Lord. Let's exalt His name and praise His name forever. Hallelujah, Lord. God, I just pray that You fill us with the power of Your Holy Spirit today. Lord, would You meet us where we are today? God, come. Spirit of God, come upon us. Lord, burn all of my flesh. Burn all of me, Lord, that gets in the way. My selfish pride. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Almighty God, isn't He, isn't He, isn't He? Yeah.
my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. My brother, even though you are a king, I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you Spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit.
Yes, Dylan. I am not skilled to understand what God has willed, what God has planned. I only know at His right hand stands one who is my Savior. I take Him at His word in Christ died to save me, this I read. And in my heart I find a need of Him to be my Savior, that He would leave this place on high and come for sinful men to die. Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God, He's always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God, He's always gonna be. It's living, dying, let me bring my strength, my solace from this spring, that He who lives to be my King once died to be my Savior. That He would leave this place on high and come for sinful men to die. You count it strange, so once did I, before I knew my Savior. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God, He's always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God, He's always gonna be. My Savior lives, my Savior loves, my Savior lives, always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God, He's always gonna be. Yes, living, dying, let me pray. My strength, my solace from this spring, that He who lives to be my King.
You're alive, Jesus.
Once died to be my Savior.
Yes, Father.
You have freed us.
Yes, Father.
We are no longer slaves to fear, to sin. You are awesome. Thank you.
Yes.
He came to live. Live a perfect life. He came to be the living Word of life. He came to die so we'd be reconciled. He came to rise to show His power and might. That's why we praise Him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer Him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King, 'cause He gave His everything. 'Cause He gave His everything. He came to be our conquering King and friend. And show the lost ones His love. He came to go we offer Him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King, 'cause He gave His everything. 'Cause He gave His everything. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. That's why we praise Him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer Him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King. 'Cause He gave His everything. 'Cause He gave His
so I can walk right through it. Say something if I can get through this. I'm probably the biggest crybaby you'll see, at least today. About 30 years ago, I started a business with a partner. 9 years into it, I bought him out and took it over myself. And I don't think anybody in their right mind would call it a successful business in any place along the way, but I've certainly seen God work in people's lives through that business. Denise and I are in a situation right now where we could lose everything we've ever worked for. I reduced the workforce on Friday by 50%. We're going to see what God does with it from here, but two things I've learned here today. There's people here with real problems, real difficulties. And real pain. And I have seen God bring me through three similar circumstances and bring me out better on the other end. Amen. Because of who He is, not who I am.
Amen. Yes.
And I've seen another thing here today. If God didn't speak to me today, He doesn't speak. Father, thank You for brothers and sisters who care. Thank You for the growth that we've experienced here today. Thank You that we just realize a little more that we can completely depend on You. You are the great provider. You are the great physician. You can heal. You are more than able, Father, to do that. Thank You for the growth that I've seen in individuals. Holly, Eric, it's amazing what You do with lives. To what You will do with us as individuals and with us corporately. Thank You for expanding my horizons, Father. Thank You for Ashley, who spoke the right words, what I needed to hear.
Yes.
Thank You for Pastor Mike in his speaking today, what... You know, Father, it's the interesting thing about truth. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It's still truth.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And I love You for that, Father.
Yes, Father. Thank You.
Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Bless you. Amen. Some of you look like you don't know what to do now. God has just raised your level of anointing. There's even some girls that were praying over another girl, and just they know that they have the power and faith to pray over people. So you know that now, right?
Hallelujah.
You know how it touches people's lives. So the faith of a child. Now God sends us out to work, to school, to wherever we're at, to impact people, to love on people, to lay hands on people and pray in faith that the sovereign God will stretch out his hand to heal and deliver. And so I pray that God would give you the boldness this week, and that even though we had a great experience today, we know that we can continue to worship at home. We can continue to put praise music in our house. We can continue to praise the Lord and continue to walk out what God is doing in our everyday lives. And so, Lord, I pray that you would do unimaginable miracles through every person here, even the young people, even the children, Father God, as they lay hands on the sick, that they would recover, Lord. Those that are emotionally discouraged and disturbed, that they would be pointed to the Word of God and be healed. In Jesus' name. And God, I pray that we would not sell short this anointing, this power that you've given us through the cross. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.